So we're going to emphasize today a theme that runs throughout the Gra in Mishlei and Yesod in the Goyin psychology, if you will, of Torah. And that is, of course, the Dukra and the Nukva of the Sitra Achra, of the Satan, the Ta'avoni and the Ka'asoni. We mentioned it many times. But it behooves us, before we begin, to repeat what the Goyin said at the very outset, which is in Perek Beis of Mishlei. And that I'm just going to repeat to you Ba'al Peh. I didn't copy it over. Some of you still have it from your notes from before. But these are the Yesodos of the Goyin's approach to the Yetzirah. Besides that, the Goyin divides into Ta'avoni and Ka'asoni, which we will repeat and explain, maybe for some of those who are not here until now. But besides that, we are going to examine something that the Goyin is very makbid on, and that is that the koiches of the Yetzer Hara do not always appear to the person who suffers the Yetzer Hara's onslaught to be negative in contrast to Torah and mitzvahs. And it becomes very complicated. And I'd like to dwell upon it before even we look at the Gra for a moment. This is the Nakuda. The Nakuda is that when a person is inspired to do something positive, that could itself be a Yetzer Hara talking. How could that be? L'maisa, the thing itself is the wonderful. The teretz is, everybody works within the balance of his personal system, of his capacity. And we are always encouraged to raise the bar. There's no question about it. The concept of atzlus isn't laziness in the ultimate sense. It's even that I'm happy to rest on my laurels. I've arrived. In Yiddishkeit, you never really arrive at the promised land. Not really. Because whatever madrega the person's on, there's always another madrega. And because Torah is nitzchi, the same thing is true of Torah and of the mitzvahs Hashem and of the koiches hanefesh of a person, that whatever we achieve is far less than the ultimate potential capacity of the greatest of the great. When the Rambam says everyone can be like Moshe Rabbeinu, whatever exactly he meant, which is subject to a great deal of discussion, but one thing is clear, you don't become like Moshe Rabbeinu, whatever that means, overnight. There's no such thing as going to sleep one night and the next morning waking up like Moshe Rabbeinu. It's a tremendous avodah. And there is, of course, the idea, mi ya'ale b'har Hashem u'mi yakum b'mekayim kodshah, which... there are many different pirushim on that pasuk as well. But for our purposes, the miyokum is the achieving the madrega and the staying power of that madrega. So a lot of times people are inspired by a rov, by a gadol, by a tzaddik that came to town. Somebody stays in their house for the week. They are the achsanya for an odom gadol miyoid. And for the next couple of weeks, there's a tremendous inspiration, and actually things change. But then they sort of kind of wind back down to the status quo ante, the way they were before. The whole point is that the miyokum is harder maybe than even the miyale. And after a miyokum, there is another miyale. And there's always another miyokum after that, and another miyale after that. Do you understand what I'm saying? So memela, the whole avodah of a person is an Adam who is going and moving, and tzaddikim ein lohem menucha. Loi ba'olam azev, or loi ba'olam abo. Loi ba'olam abo has its own parsha. Why ba'olam abo? It's not a time of asiyah. So there's no mi'al and mi'yokum over there. So what it means, loi ba'olam abo, is a different story. But loi ba'olam azev is kipshutai. There's no menucha. There's never rest. Not even resting on your laurels. There's always a constant re-examination, a constant challenge to oneself, always trying to reach the next level. That is the yesod, of course, also of the very famous Sefer, which is based on a Gemara in Maseches Avodah Zarah, Torah may be only day Zahirus, or Zahirus may be only day Zrizus, and so on. The Sefer called Mesilas Yesharim of the Ramchal. But Moshe Chaim Litzata, Zichrono Livracha, L'chayei Olam Haba. That is why, when we are speaking about achievements, we are always speaking about temporary achievements. And the same thing is true in learning also, by the way. When we say Hadron Aloch, the Hadron Aloch has to be understood properly. It is the springboard for a revised understanding. The Hadron Aloch says, I have now accomplished the entirety of the Masechta. We view Masechtas as entities. Hagam that in each block, they're far-flung in Yonim. But the fact is that Masechtas Baba Basra, well, let's take a different Masechta, Masechtas Makkos, has in Yonim that make it Masechtas Makkos. And Masechtas Makkos doesn't belong in Masechtas Shabbos. Even though you'll find in Yonim in Masechtas Shabbos and in Yonim Masechtas Makkos that are identical, or the Agadatas or whatever it is. A Masechta has almost like an identity of its own, almost a personality. Once a person learns a Masechta, see, if he only learns half a Masechta, he doesn't yet have the container for which to be able to use it as a springboard properly. When you finish a Masechta, the very fact that it's called a Masechta and was divided in the Mishnayos as such gives it its structure, its form. When I finish a Masechta, I am ready to learn the Masechta. When I finish the Masechta the second time, I'm ready to learn the Masechta. A third time, I'm ready to learn the Masechta. What's the pshat? You already learned the Masechta. No. Because each time you learn, you develop kalim and understandings which you didn't have before. And now when you go back, it's a new Masechta. Well, I always tell over the story that I heard Mistama when I was 3 years old for the first time. There's certain stories that my father, Zalzaik Zutat Shtak, used to share with me when I was mamish, a baby. And they remain with you. They remain with you. So there was a Yid that was an Amaretz, a certified Amaretz. And he went, but nevertheless, for whatever reason, had a tremendous love for Torah or for the covet of Torah, whatever. So he wanted the best bachur in the yeshiva for his daughter. And he was willing to give Natan for the rest of his life. Support, Yisachar and Zvul, whatever. So the Rosh Yeshiva points out a certain Bacher, he says, that's the one. He is the best of the best. He's going to be one day a Gadol Hador. All right, he doesn't know anything one way or the other, but he trusts the Rosh Yeshiva. Rosh Yeshiva points out to the Bacher, he takes this Bacher and he makes him his son-in-law. And the Bacher sits in the Beis Medrash there in the town, and he sits and he learns and he learns and he learns and he learns. One day, father-in-law is walking out innocently and he hears him learning, and Ipsik developed the curiosity, he wants to know. So he goes over to this Aiden, to his son-in-law, and he says, tell me something, what are you learning? It sounds so nice. That. So he says, I'm learning Baba Kama. His face turns white. He starts screaming, Mekachtos at Mebaganvit, at Mebagazel, the Rosh Yeshiva, wait till I get my hands on it. He says, What is this? He says, your eight-year-old brother-in-law is learning Baba Kama. So he tells him, it's the same name, but it's an entirely different Masechta. I think it was scared when I was 2-3 years old. What it means, it's true. It's an entirely different Masechta. He wasn't lying. The father-in-law thought he meant it's the same words, but inside the text is different. But it's not so. The text is exactly the same. That's what the Briska Rav used to say over and over, that the godless of Torah, unlike physics, for example, when you start as a child, you have this big book with a picture, a face of the atom, and that's about it. And then when you go to high school, you develop a more sophisticated text, but it's nothing compared to what a person studies in the advanced courses. And then eventually, when he becomes a mumcha, so it's in ganz ananda zach, with mathematical equations that we can't even figure out what they're talking about. So that is completely different texts because of the Madregas. Torah has this incredible kaya that it can address everyone at every age, and it keeps going with you. But that's because what goes on inside of you in the Havanas HaTorah keeps changing. And that, of course, explains also the very great source for a siyum, which is the Pirkei Rabbi Elazar, which says that Shlomo HaMelech, when he got his wisdom for the first time, because HaKadosh Baruch Hu granted him extraordinary wisdom, Chochma Shloimei. So he made a tremendous feast, and it was an unbelievable celebration. So this is a celebration, Lagomra Shel Torah. So everyone asks, wait a minute, he didn't start learning, he just got the Kalim to learn. So what does that have to do with a Siyum? The answer is very pashut, that a Siyum is giving you the Kalim to learn. And that's the Hadron Aloch. We're going to go back to you. It's not like a, you know, we love you, so we're learning now Bechairis, and then next we're going to learn Tmura, whatever comes next. Erech and Krisis, Me'ila, Tmura, Tomid. But don't worry, we didn't forget about you. 7 years from now, we'll see you again, you know? That's not what we mean when we say Hadron Aloch. We mean tonight. Whether you do or you don't, that's the nusach of the seal. You understand me very well. But the point is that the Hadron is, we're going back to you because now we understand a little bit the inyonim of this mesechta. And that's an unbelievable point, that Torah never gives you the full measure of its understanding. It never reveals itself to you completely because it's nitzchias, and that's the mashal that I always give, which we're not going to repeat, of the Sasa Neichel and Masech of the Vilna Gaon and Chofetz Chaim. About the king who sent his general and he had a whole day and he got upset at the end. Because Lamaisa, you're never able to finish. But each level of learning is a higher level. So that's what we mean when we say that we are always striving. We're striving also in the Mochama against the Yetzer Hara. There's no question about it. Some people have the ability. I heard about a certain Adam Gadol that used to walk on a chaussee, on an avenue, and there was priestess on the avenue, and he used to walk there for his health. The doctor told him that he has to take his constitutional, whatever it's called. I don't know why it's called a constitutional as opposed to the Declaration of Independence, but Lamaisa, that's what it is. It's a constitution. I guess it helps his constitution. But the Unterste Shura is, somebody asked his son, how can he do that? He's inviting the Yetzer Hara. So he says, this person was already in his 80s or 90s. He says, he has the ability to see something and not to see it at all. Now those are madregas. You know, you're talking about, you know, some people have a koyach of concentration that they don't see. I don't think that's what he meant, that he's so focused on learning. But you know, there's a very important story. I mean, it's not a story, it's a vignette. It's a 1 second story from the Chassidus, which says exactly the same thing. Because there was a certain chassid that was walking, and he saw Ogel, the daughter of the Baal Shem Tov. And he was slammed his eyes shut, a woman, a girl, and of course kept walking. And that was not a good idea because he walked right into a tree and he hurt himself. So she said, better to keep your eyes open and think about Hashem than keep your eyes closed and think about Odel. So this is, that's a kind of concentration sort of thing. But I don't know if it was even concentration. Sometimes you have the shlita over your Yetzer Hara over years and years of Hadron Aloch, of honing that koyach inside of you to withstand the Yetzer Hara, that you have him by the throat. But those are madregas that we can only talk about. Those are madregas that you yearn for and maybe strive for a lifetime to achieve. So that's the miyalu, miyoku, miyalu, miyoku, miyalu, miyoku. What happens? Now we go right back to the Gra's idea. Sometimes the Yetzer Hara has tachbulos, ambush. He has a koyach to use the tzara toiv in you to undermine you. And that sometimes, and believe it or not, according to the Gra, it's always worse. To peledikazach. Who would have thought that that's worse? All right, we can understand that after we explain it, but that it's worse than the going after you with the taiva itself. Because the person's need for Yashrus, his need for Tzedek, his need for Avas Hashem, his need to be good is so strong that the Yetzer Hara sometimes co-opts it for his purposes. One of the ways he does that is by making a person reach out for Madregas that he's not roi to, guaranteeing a total crash eventually, Another way he does it is by making the person think he's doing something right, and meanwhile he's doing something which is cunningly wrong. For example, if you want sometimes to get rid of somebody who's giving you trouble, you can sometimes take your foot and stick under his, where he's walking by, and trip him. That's very pashut. But sometimes you can do it with psychological warfare. Sometimes you can do it by making believe you're his friend. Sometimes you can do it by getting him into a situation where the situation eats him up. And that's the whole idea of the Fnaiva Losite Mirshal too. But that is very often accompanied with a notion, an understanding, that I really want to mess him up. But sometimes the Yetzer Hara blinds the person in such a way that he actually convinces him that he's doing the person a favor. And that, of course, is only because there is a Tzad Hara inside the person that is masquerading as the Tzad HaTov. And there are many, many examples of that sort of thing. They tell the story about the Vilna Gaon. I don't know if it's so, but I'll just repeat it for the point that it makes. And this is based, of course, on something that the Vilna Gaon said, which I mentioned a number of times, which is a Pirush Nifla and Mechudosh on Vatere ki nisametzes hi lo leches ita. Pasuk says that Naomi observed Rus HaMoavia, and the Pashup Shat, that's the way everybody learns, that she saw that no matter her protestations that she should go back, Shleichna, Shoivna, right? I'm too old. Kizakanti meyos liish halohein teogena. You know, you'll wait, and gam hayisi halayla liish gam yoladet ibonim. You're gonna wait until they grow up. So go back. And she says we have dinim, and she says it's okay. We have batekvaras. She says it's okay. There's a chiluk between these tzaddikim and those tzaddikim. These rishoyim, those rishoyim. Everything is okay. Amei chami velokai chalukai. But teiraki misametzes he will let us. She saw that she's stubborn and she's insistent and persistent and she wants it so badly. And in fact, the halacha says that you're supposed to try to push the ger who comes to be misgayer away, but when you see that they are stubbornly insistent on remaining to their path and becoming gerim, you have to desist, you have to slow down, you have to let them. So that's the chayr of the Pashur Shad. The Vilna Gaon says, Vatayrikim Isamet says, he means that she saw that, Naomi saw, the mother-in-law saw, that she had an internal struggle. There was a struggle going on inside of her. It wasn't so Pashut. It came out the opposite. She saw that she was wearing her down a little bit. She was beginning to have cheshbonis. And af al-pikein, she still remained true. Then it was Vatechta Ladabe, Zok de Gra. Because when something so difficult and so complicated and so unlikely as a Moavia going with the bereft and completely poverty stricken, broken Naomi back to Beis Lechem of all places, that is something that is very unreasonable. Why is she so enthusiastic if it's not the Sutton trying to trip up something or other? Either her, or Naomi, or Klal Yisrael, or who knows what. It was only when Naomi realized that she's human after all, and there's something going on inside of her, and with logic, and with commitment, and with understanding of all the pitfalls, she still wants to do it. Then she knew that it comes from the Yetzer HaTov in her, from that koyach of whatever it was that was inspiring her, and it's l'toiva, it's not a masquerading yetzer hara or satan. That's the Gaon's pshat. So they tell a maisa that when Reb Chaim Volozhiner wanted to make his yeshiva, he you know, famous letter of Reb Chaim Volozhiner and so on, so of course he's not going to make a move without his Rebbe. That goes out, that's without a doubt. So they say that he came to the Gra the first time, and the Gra was non-committal. He didn't give him his bracha. And so so he didn't make the yeshiva. But a year later, Azeya Bichgehel, I'm not taking authority for this. I'm not taking responsibility for the authority of it. But that's what I heard. That a year later he came, and then he gave him his bracha. So my high, what's the difference? So he said that a person can get overwhelmed with an idea, and the idea has its pluses, without a doubt. That's what motivated him, of course. But there could also be negatives. And you never even know what the negatives are. And this I'm adding myself. What could the negatives be? A person wants to make a yeshiva. Who's going to be the Rosh Yeshiva? The Torah says Reb Chaim Volozhin. That already is something to think about and to worry about. And who are going to be the Rosh Yeshivas after you? Your children. There's an Inyan of Yerusha. So you're already setting up a system that has a benefit for you. And then, in each town, there was a lot of Torah learning, because there was no yeshiva. So where did they learn? They learned wherever they were. In fact, the Birkat Shmuel, the Baruch Be'er Zichrono Livracha, Chai Olam Abo, so he was in Slutsk, until he was a youngster when he came to Volozhin. The Pesach, or whatever it is, the Yom Tov, that he came back home, the Zakenim of Slutsk walked over to him, and they said, Baruch Be'er, here, it's warm, it's comfortable, you have a Kiva Eger, you have the Nesivas, you have the Ktsais. What do you have to go to Volozhin for? What do you have over there? Stay here? So, the Birkat Shmuel was a tzaddik yisod olam. Somebody asks him a question. So he has a Rebbe. So he went to the Rebbe, and he told him, in Slutsk, they're saying, I have a Kivega, and I have the Nesivas. What do I need you for? He didn't say it that way, but that's what he meant. What should I answer them? So Reb Chaim said to him, answer them that the Ketzos can tell you what's good, but he can't tell you what's no good. So there's a Maisa with the Birkat Shmuel, just like a sniff to this story, that the Birkat Shmuel was an Ilui Otzum. He already knew Shas by the time he was, who knows, a child. And he was an Ilui Otzum. He was a tremendous Ilui. He used to learn with his brother-in-law 17 blot in one session. 17 blot Gemara. You're not talking about 17 blot reading the Lashon. You're talking about learning. I mean, these people were tremendous geniuses. Anyway, he comes to Reb Chaim, and he says, Nu Slutsko, Zogapis. So he came prepared with packages of Torah, and he started unloading his packages. And, you know, pages and pages of Torah, you know, he's talking about Pe, but he's saying Tagansa Torahs. And Reb Chaim is non-committal, not saying anything. Once it happened that he was saying something, and one of the chevra there interrupted him and asked him a kasha. So the Birkat Shmuel said the following lashon: "Agut the kasha does given, aber ich noch gehalten mitten sorgen, aber gesagt weiter." In other words, you know, he has a kasha, but I have a shtickel Torah. So Reb Chaim interrupted, and he says, "Aber frag doch gut." He's asking good. He's asking a good question. So he says, I learned that I have to stop. That was the Birkat Shmuel, you know. He learned that he has to stop. What the Rebbe said was so Kodesh Kadosh, like, you know, that's... And yeah, one day, and apparently he was very much respected, because the Reb Chaim kept asking him to say Divrei Torah. He says, one day he wasn't prepared. Reb Chaim asked him. So he says, but he said he had a kasha, and he had some machshava, how to answer the kasha. It was like, you know, a two-minute thing. But he's figured that Chaim asks him to say, he can't not say. So he said it. So he says, Slutskerl das is gut. Listen to the Lashon. He says, that the Reb Chaim Briska, Reb Chaim said, that's good. The Rosh Yeshiva said, that is good. Says the Birkat Shmuel, from then on he adopted the Rebbe's derech. It's like, you have to understand what, you know, to change on a dime because the Rebbe said one word. Who has a Rebbe like that, and who treats his Rebbe like that? Who can be a Talmud like that? It's unbelievable. But Lamaisa, you could stay in the town. What happens when all the young... That was just a little detour. What happens when all the young Talmidei Chachamim from all the towns go to this major yeshiva? What's going to be with the Torah in that town? And there are many other considerations. You know, what happens if it's not matzliach because you're constantly struggling for funds and for money? And what happens if there's a machloika? And what happens when you have a whole group of Talmidim and the Talmidim decide to make a revolution? Well, when you have a town and you have a Rebbe, what a revolution are you going to make? But when you have big Talmidei Chachamim who think maybe they're even bigger than the Rosh Yeshiva sometimes, and they have ideas, and there's issues, and there's always issues. Wherever there are human beings, there are issues. Wherever there are Yidden, there are even more issues. And that is exactly what happened in many yeshivas subsequently. Revolutions, mamish. There are so many possible negatives. Why the enthusiasm? So the answer, of course, really is the enthusiasm is warranted because after all those cheshbonos and after all those considerations, Reb Chaim Volozhiner was right that he made this incredible moisiv, which is the mother of all yeshivas. Oh, but the fact is, said the Goyim, that with that immediate and natural enthusiasm that was right at the outset, without any kashas, without any problems, wait a minute. Maybe there's no misametzes over here. Maybe it's the Sutton working. So he had to wait a whole year. Pilei ploim. When he came back the following year, and he was still, after all that thinking and after that working it out, and he still committed, yeah, now I give you my haskam. So that's the nekuda, Rabbi Say. That's the idea of the Vilna Gaon. Let's look at it a little bit inside. I'll read it to you, because this is still from Perek Beis, not from Perek Vav. So the Pasuk says, very similarly, and that just goes to show how much is emphasized over and over again in Mishlei. Last week we saw that the Rabbeinu Yoina learns the Isha Ra literally, that we're talking about the Eishes Ish, we're talking about Erva, Arayas, but here we're talking about a mashal to the Satan in general, to the Yetzer. Yeah. And that's why the Gaon divides it into different categories. So the Pasuk says, Mezima tishmar alecha tevuna tintzereka, the Torah, and the Chochmah of the Torah will protect you. L'hatzilcha miderech ra, me'ish medaber ta'apuchos, to save you from the wrong path. Now, he speaks about someone who is abandoning the path that is true. Ha'oizvim orchos yosher, l'oleches bedarkei choshech. That is Perek Beis, Mishlei Perek Beis, Pasuk Yud Beis, and Yud Gimel. Zok de Gra. La'atzilcha miderech ra b'sitra achra hu gam kein duchra v'nukva. There is Zohar and the Keva. Zohar aspects and the Keva aspects are mishalim to active and passive and a variety of synonyms for that concept. And he says that that is the secret of ta'avoni and ka'asoni. Taiva and ka'as. And then he writes, V'hatoiv hu garua min hara. He says the good part, what do you mean good? If it's good, it's good. He means the good of the Yetzirah. The Yetzirah's projecting that it's good is worse than if you are struggling against something that you perceive as ra. K'moshe kosuv toiv kas mischoik. So he quotes here, of course, the very, very famous pasuk in Koheles, and the Toiv Kas Mischoik, so you have that in the Ra there is Kas and Schoik, and the Taiva is perceived as the Toiv Shebera, and the Kas is the Ra Shebera. That's one level. And then, of course, what I was talking about before, that sometimes the Levush is Toiv to begin with. It's good for you. It's good for you. Listen, a person, I'll give the simplest example of all. A person needs to rest. Everyone's masking, you have to rest. Maybe a tremendous tzaddik understands rest as stopping to learn Shas and Poskim and learning Medrash. Maybe that's rest. Maybe another tzaddik knows that rest means putting your feet up and going and dozing off for a few minutes. That's rest. But then there's a Sutton. The Sutton comes and says to him, you need a break. You need a break. You need a rest. You have to rest your own neshama. So what do you do when you rest your own neshama? So you could go for a stroll in the park. You can go to the Bermuda. You can go to see a movie. There's lots of ways of taking a break. And depending upon how the Yetzer Hara manages you, and where you're holding at that particular moment in the Mi'alav HaHashem U'Miyakum ladder, he might be able to convince you, you know what, I'll go skiing, and you know, and I'll have myself an exercise, and I'll have myself a change of pace, and I'll have a change of environment, and I'll come back nourished and invigorated and ready to go at the next piece of Gemara. And it sounds very, very reasonable. And without a doubt, many people succumb to exactly that. So then you have like this. A father wants to take his family to Pesach, to a hotel. Ma'asim b'chol yom, Rabbi say. And the advertisements for the hotel, I don't yet see an advertisement that people should come to Avenue J in East 18th Street for a vacation. The places that they choose are places that are known to be for vacations. Zebuchoy v'zebuchoy. And of course, depending upon who's running it and what they're doing, will depend the kashrus of the whole Indian. But what about the environment? That nobody can guarantee. So there are some places that send you Pesach to a hotel in Miami. How do I know? Because some of my Talmidim are prisoners of the parents who send them, who take them to Miami. That they wouldn't go for $1 million, they wouldn't go on their own. But the mishpacha, and the parents, Taina, you're not going to be with us Pesach. And they have a beautiful Seder with 1,000 people in the room, and the catered meal is called Tuv Sela. And they even finish the Afikoman before Chatzos, with the Tnai, at least, of the Avnei Nezer. So the fact is that there is a lot of Satan Yetzirah working here in the Tzara Toiv Shabbai, because Miami is Miami. There's nothing to talk about. I'm a Lepdot and Lepmendot. I'm a Muzdot and Zayim, Muzmendot and Zayim. But to go there? What is that? So the Teretz is, I'm just going for the Pesach, for the Seder, all the people that I know, my friends, my relatives, they're all going to be surrounding me. There's no opportunity to do anything wrong, and there's no opportunity to see anything vile, and it's not a problem. Takeh, palm trees, water on this side, water on that side. That's enough. I'll come back invigorated and refreshed. It costs a fortune, it must be good. That's another Satan Yetzer Hara thing. If I'm spending a ton of money, I can't allow myself to see the negative, because then I made a terrible mistake and I threw a lot of good money down the drain. So about it, it's good. You come back with glowing reports and you go back again the next year. That is exactly the milchama that the person has to have with the Tzara Toiv that the Yetzer Hara works with, which I think, according to the Gra, is also included in his statement that it's worse than the Tzad Hara. So then he calls, and that's what he says. It follows. He says, "Ki al yedei hatoiv shel asitra akra ha'adam nispate." He is, what's pitui?
Seduced.
He's seduced, Pashat. V'chol echad nechlak lishnayim b'tavoni v'chein b'ka'asoni. V'hainu b'ka'asoni hu ra u'mirma. He always, that's what the guy does all the time. He breaks things down into categories and subcategories. V'harahu hara be'etzem u'piv v'libay shavim l'ra. Ra means, the Yetzirah says to you, you want money, the cash register is open, avadagavis, it's wrong, take it. Don't pay any attention to the Yetzer Tov. That's Rashura. Mirma, what's Mirma? What's the definition of the word Mirma? Deceit, trickery, treachery. Mirma hu shemedaber toiv, v'libay chayshev lahara. V'hu nikra sifsei chalokos. And that's what's called in the parlance of Tehillim, sifsei chalokos. Smooth talking. You know, you have these characters that are very good salesmen. Their pitch is honed to perfection, and they get to you. And then later you wonder, why did I buy that? But the Teretz is Bishas Maisa, unbelievable. B'zeh she'oma nitzor l'shoincha meiro usfosecha midaber mirma. Ki hara In other words, when you're speaking Lashon Hara, it could also be like that. As I told you before, you can say something very negative and you know it's negative and the impact is negative and everyone who hears it knows it's negative. But there's sometimes like a Lifnei Iver type of situation where it looks like you're saying something positive. It's very interesting, you know, there was a Maisa with the Beis HaLevi that takes this idea almost to an extreme. Of course, he didn't have any intention to hurt him, but the consequences are the same point. Sometimes the Yetzer Hara makes you say things like that to undermine the person unwittingly, because deep down there's a resentment, deep down there's a jealousy. You know, you can tell a person, you're a big tzaddik, and the implications inside the person's heart is, I can't stand your guts. Yeah. But the statement, when it comes out, convinces the person himself that at that moment, like it says by Esav with Yaakov, Nichmaru Racham of Ba'isa Shah. It's an amazing thing. The human capacity for self-deceit is so great that the Satan is perpetually taking advantage of this. So you have a person who's... the story is told about the Beis HaLevi, that he was... The train stopped. They ran out of wood or fuel or whatever. And they had to stay overnight in a certain train station. And people were surrounding him, and he was regaling them with different Torah and stories. And he saw someone from a distance. He'll come over. Who is it? It's Reb Yankiv, the chazan of his town. So he introduces Reb Yankiv, the chazan, whatever his name was, to the people around him. And he says, Reb Yankiv, he is the chazan of our town, a gvaldik Talmud Chacham. So Reb Yankiv comes to him privately later and he says, you did me a tremendous avla. You did me wrong. What? When did I get to you wrong? Chas v'shol? He says, you introduced me that I'm a big Talmud Chacham. You didn't say one thing about my chazanus, not one thing about my voice. Mistama, you feel, and that's how they understood it, that that's not the Madrega. The Madrega is that I know how to learn. So they say that the Beis HaLevi from this encounter used to say, B'negeya the Chazal, that lo'olam al yar ba'odam b'shvachay shal chaveiro shemitach kach bo l'ganoisay or l'gnusay. He says sometimes you normally interpret, the more you talk about a person, sooner or later you're going to start talking about his negatives. That's what's going to happen. You'll start talking positive, but eventually you'll say, but it is true that he is not necessarily nizer in this or that, whatever. But afopikay. But that's not what it means. He says sometimes the shevach, pure shevach, can bring kignus without saying another word. So this is the ma'isa b'chol yoyim. So he says, hara, piv, v'liboy, ke'echod l'ra. He's saying a Lashon Hara. He knows he's saying a Lashon Hara. He wants to say a Lashon Hara. V'hu dugmas ha'loshom. L'chein k'siv l'shoincha. V'had medaber mirma, piv, choluk mi'liboy. His heart is to do harm, but the words are very, very sweet. V'hu dugmas ha'sfasayim. L'chein k'siv usfasecha midaber mirma. Why is it the Dugmas HaSfasayim? By the way, the Vilna Gaon says this many, many times, by the way, that it's Sfasayim. Maybe because the lips, they open and they close, the tongue is one piece, you know, it doesn't change. But the lips, sometimes they're in a grimace, whatever you want to call it, sometimes they are with a smile. It's never the same. So maybe that's why. But the Gaon discusses it, but that's when he uses the idea that Sfasayim are the Daber Mirmu. Sfasecha mi Daber Mirmu. The Zehu. Now he goes back to the Pasuk that we have here in Perek Beis, Pasuk Yud Beis. Latzilcha mi Derech Ra. Shehu Ara Bepoyel Upiv Alibay Shavim La Ra. Lachein Omar Derech Ra. Shedarko Lahara Tomit. Meish medaber tapuchos hu hamirma she medaber hefach libay she doiver shalom im reyehu v'ra'a bilvavay l'chein amakan medaber midaber ki hu medaber divrei tapuchos v'yoyitz eitzis rois. So medaber tapuchos, what do tapuchos mean? Hefach, that it looks one way but it's really in truth the other way. So I just want to point out again and again, the Vilna Gaon is using his marshal somebody who speaks about someone else. Where sometimes you can say something totally negative, and it's understood to be totally negative, and accepted as such, and intended as such. Sometimes the intention is negative, but everybody thinks it's a positive. Something, when you want to set up a person for a fall, for example, You convince somebody that he really knows the Shtickle Gemara. He says, you're tremendous. So he says, I'm afraid the Rebbe is going to call on me. He's going to ask me. No, don't be afraid. Go in. Ask the kasha. Talk up. And he knows that what's going to happen is that he's going to say something really absurd or stupid because he really doesn't know. And the Rebbe might make a korban of him. Whatever the reason would be. You come in unprepared and you make yourself into a ganze knacker, you think you know the sugya, that's a chutzpah. So I'll show you. But meanwhile, who is responsible for this? The fellow that was tripping him up. Does it look like he's tripping him up? It looks like he's giving him chizuk. You can do it. And sometimes, all of this that the Gaon is describing about Reuven Legabe Shimon is Reuven inside of him Legabe himself, which is an incredible idea. That inside of us there are these forces that try to undermine our own capacity for real taiva by making believe that there's a taiva that's available to me, something that's really good. So it's the vacation, it's the this, it's the that, it's whatever it is. And by the way, just been again, this idea of taking a break and having a rest, something happens to the psychology of a person, by the way, because that's the way it is. We change. So the same person could grow up in an environment, the same person, with the same original makeup, I mean, could grow up in an environment where the concept of rest is to sit down for 5 minutes. And another person's concept of rest is 4 days vacation. The same exhaustion. 5 minutes, 4 days vacation. Nothing to do with Yiddishkeit, by the way. It's a mentality. And it depends what you have become, in a certain sense. What your work ethic really is. And what your commitments are. And what you value. And that's the way it is in the whole world. So you have Yisocha Chamor Gorem Roy Beitz Banimish Besoyim. This is today's parsha. Vayar Menucha Ki Toiv Vesa Oretz Ki Na'ema. So I always ask the very simple question. If you see that Menucha is good and the land is pleasant, what do you do next? The Torah says the first thing you do is go out and buy a hat. Not stam a hat, a sombrero. And then you find a warm place in the sun. And you sit down, and you tilt the sombrero over your head, and that's what's called Vayar Menucha Ki Toiv. What's the end of the pasuk? Vayet Shichmai Lizboil, Vayehi Lamas Oved. Peledik pasuk. He sees Menucha is good, and he puts his shoulder to the wheel. And he grinds away. What's the pshat? The teretz is exactly what I'm saying. Menucha is the way in which you do the work, if that is the work that you're supposed to do. Because real menucha is being one with yourself, being integrated, not being broken into shreds, into pieces, not challenging yourself all the time. Where am I? What am I? Like I always say, lo'on ataratz u'bishvil ma'ataratz. That's real menucha. That's what we call, in fact, what? Menuchas ha'nefesh. You have Shabbos. Pilei ployim. We know what Menucha is. It's a day of rest. So how come the tefillah to Mincha has so many different descriptions? Menuchas Ava Nedava, Menuchas Emes Ve'emuna, Menuchas Shalom Ve'shalva. What does Menuchas Emes Ve'emuna mean b'chlal? The teretz is, there's a Menucha that's not Emes, and there's a Menucha that's not Emuna. That's exactly the point that's being made. To have a real Shabbos, that's a Shabbos that gives Menucha, you have to have components of Shabbos that provide you with Menuchas Avo Nedova Emes Bemuna Shal Meshava Ashkid Vavetach. And in the end, it's Menucha Shleima. That's the point. Shleimus is something that cannot happen if a person is against himself. And that's why Vayar Menucha Kitoi Vayet Shechmai Lizbal. It's an unbelievable puzzle. But that is the nekuda of learning also. A person who's really a ben Torah, he doesn't enjoy anything as much as a Tosfos. Whereas a person who feels the compulsion that he has to learn, because that's what everybody does, but he's not a ben Torah. He hasn't honed himself in that way. Or his past is haunting him because there's so much baggage that tells him, don't learn, don't learn, don't learn. had a bad experience as a child, he doesn't know enough, the Yetzirah inside of him says, you're going to learn, you're going to look like a fool in front of everybody else. Everybody else knows so much more than you. How do you... So what did Rabbi Akiva do? Rabbi Akiva told the Yetzirah, listen, if you want, I'll break your bones right now. Otherwise, leave me alone. And he went and he sat down with the little babies who were learning ba-ba-ba. So you could do it. But it requires a tremendous control of the Satan and the Yetzer that keeps telling you, this is not for you. You don't belong here. For such a person, he can't find that geschmack initially. It takes time. And he certainly doesn't think that that's menucha. Same thing with a person with Shabbos. For a person that is into the television set. You remember the Maisa that I told you, the famous Maisa, the Baruch Shalom gave me those words. But that's exactly the point. There's a fellow comes over to me when I was a Rav in a different community, and he became a Baal Tshuva, and he keeps Shabbos. He really keeps Shabbos. He says to me, Rabbi, I have a big problem. He says to me, I don't know what it was, the Super Bowl, the soccer game, ach weiß nicht was es gewesen, but there's this major game that's going on this coming Shabbos, and this is what I want to do. I want to put the television on a timer. I'm not going to touch it, not to turn it on, not to turn it off. Chas v'sholom. I'm going to leave it the way it is. The timer will turn it on. And the timer will turn it off. But that is my Oneg Shabbos. And without it, I will be miserable. And you're not supposed to be miserable on Shabbos. And he meant it mit dem ganzen Herzen. He was very sincere. Of course, you understand, the Yetzer Hara was also talking to him. You see, that's the same thing. It's the Tzad HaTov that he's taking advantage. He's not going to have a night of Shabbos and he's going to be miserable. And what's wrong with it anyhow? I'm not doing anything wrong. So I thought to myself, I can tell him that is as much a contradiction of Shabbos as you could get, and you don't know what Shabbos is, and you just became a Baal Tshuva, and it takes a long time to appreciate what Shabbos is. You understand what that would have done in our relationship and in terms of his own self, and it wasn't fair. It's not fair. If he's coming from a place where he doesn't understand, I'm supposed to tell him that he doesn't understand, and that's his chesara. It's an avla, would be an avla on my part, and it would accomplish nothing. So I rolled up my eyes heavenwards, and I said, Ribbono shel Olam, help me. Eba fenemes, fenemes, help me. And then I said to him as follows, Mamish minayu ben. So one thing, Yeshua Hashem, it doesn't take very long. You get the words mamish the next second. You don't have to wait for the UPS. You get the words mamish the next second. It's a pellet de gazach. But you need tremendous siyata d'shmaya for that. I told him, I said, listen, your question was not a question that started yesterday. This is a question that's several thousand years old. So he looks at me. So I said to him, I said, this is what it is. The Kohanim, people think the Kohanim, they came to the Beis HaMikdash and they worked day and night. I said, Kohen came to the Beis HaMikdash, there was a Goyro. There's so many Kohanim, they had to pick one person to do the Trumas Hadesh. So they made a Goyro. So one Kohen was chosen. Then there were a whole bunch of Kohanim that had nothing to do for quite a while. So one of the Kohanim decided, you know what? I can't just sit around idly. It's making me crazy. So he decided, you know what he's going to do? He's going to bring his little portable television set. He's going to bring it into the Beis HaMikdash. He's going to set it down in a corner where nobody's there. Nobody's bothering. And he's going to watch his program. And then when he's called, maybe for the next Hagrola, you know, for the next lottery, maybe he'll be chosen. And if not, there's always another television program. That's what I told him. So he says, Rabbi, you know that that's ridiculous. So I asked him, this is the Mamash Maisa Shohoya. Shows the godless of this fellow, though. I said, you mean it's ridiculous because they didn't have televisions in those days, huh? He says, no. You can't bring a television into the Beis HaMikdash. He understood that I was telling him a mashal. But he says, it's absurd. So I said to him, I said, I want you to know something. The whole of reality is time and place. Mokoyim and Zman. You know, there's a Beis HaMikdash of Mokoyim. That's in Yerushalayim. It's called the Temple. There's a Beis HaMikdash of Zman. You know what that is? That's Shabbos. It is just as absurd to bring a television into Shabbos than it is to bring it into the Mikdash of Mokoyim. Because Shabbos is the Beis HaMikdash of Zman. A few seconds pass, and it's quiet. And then this fellow says, Rabbi, you are so right. That was the end of the whole thing. I love to chazer it over. Needless to say, not that I had a chokhmah anyhow, attributed totally to the Eibishter regardless. But it's the truth. It is a mikdash of Zman, as many svarim describe. But that mikdash of Zman has a menuchas avin adava emes v'munushal m'shalva v'ashkei v'vetach. But for another person, doesn't understand nucha shleimosh ataroi tzavoy, doesn't know that it's a mikdash at all, then by him, Einik Shabbos is to watch the game. And there's no question that for many people it is like that. And I don't have the slightest doubt that many people do put their televisions on a timer or whatever it is that goes for a television today. Because then they have their cake and eat it. They have their Shabbos and they have their enjoyment of Shabbos. And there's another person that told me that their child went to a certain neighborhood because that was the friend. And they're living on the west side or something like that, and they went to some friends. This girl went to a friend of hers who was her classmate. And they come from a home that's mamish gevaldik, mamish on the highest madrega. And she was supposed to be there for a couple of days on vacation or something. She calls me and says, Shabbos, she says, Tati, take me home. So he says, what is it? What's the matter? What happened? He says, this is the Lashon. I don't know how it's even possible. But he says, Friday night he came out, or maybe Shabbos morning, I don't know. He came out wearing shorts. I think she said it's swimming trunks, but that can't be. It must be shorts. He was wearing shorts and he was making Kiddush in shorts. I don't want to be here another minute. And I said, that's the Nakuda. You know, somebody could think that that's my day of rest. I don't have to get dressed up. And another person says, Kiddush is the Kedusha. That's where the word comes from. So how can I? You know, there's a Maisa, you know, there's a famous Maisa that's brought down in the Sefer Mishnas Chachomim from Moshe Chagiz. He tells the Maisa as follows, that the greatest of the great Paitonim in his time, in the time not of Moshe Chagiz, of the Ariyah Kodesh, 100 years before, was the Mechaber of Kari Bonola. And they tell a Maisa that when he used to sing his Miris on Shabbos, Malachim used to come. And the Ari HaKadosh said that once it happened, because we wouldn't know about these things, but he knew that once it happened that all the Malachim came to hear his tremendous Miras, and all of a sudden the chief Malach comes and he chases them all away. And they asked Ari HaKadosh, my hai? He says, because when he was singing his Miras at the Shabbos table, he was not wearing his hat, basically. He was wearing a beged that you wear for comfort, you know, like a, I don't know what they would call such a cap. No, not a baseball cap. What if it's like a sleeping cap? Was it chasarn in the piyuk? So the kedushas haShabbos that you can't sit at. By the way, when I read this in the sefer, I saw it myself with my own eyes. Mishnas Chachamim, it's on the Perek Shana Chachamim Trana Mishnah, the Kinyone HaTorah. Doesn't finish the whole thing, but it's a Meridika Sefer of Musa and Ashkofa, written all over. And he has tremendous stories. The bottom line is that ever since then, I do not take off my jacket, I do not take off my hat the whole meal. That's my, when you learn something in a Sefer and you hear it, that's it for the rest of your life. That's it. I'm not telling people what to do, Chas V'Shalom, not Chas V'Shalom. But I'm saying that's what I do. And it's not Altstasi. I'm just saying that's the feeling that you have when you read such a story. That, you know, who knows, maybe I'll also compose a nigga. I don't want the Malachim to run away. There's always hope. But this is the Yetzer Hara that makes you misunderstand a Shabbos and make of the Shabbos a rest, and you know very well that the person's going to be challenged by some godel or tzaddik or rebbe or his wife or whatever. My eye, what kind of behavior is this? He says, I need my break, I need my space, I need my time, and in the end, I have to replenish my batteries and restock and refurbish, and I'm going to come out much better as a result. Now that is the Yetzer Hara talking. No doubt about it. And when a person decides in the morning that he can't go to Tefillah B'Tzibur because it's going to kill his whole day of learning, He can't go to Tefillin B'Tzibah. He has to sleep another hour. Why? Because he stayed up half the night doing whatever. What were you doing? The Torah says, Dvarim Shel Mabekach. But now I'm tired. So the Sotan says, come on. You're going to get up to daven now B'Tzibah. The minyan is at 7 o'clock. Sleep another hour or two. You'll go to Shia. You'll daven. You'll chaper a davening. Once it's not B'Tzibah, it's not the B'Tzibah. You can do it in 15 minutes. You've done it before. He falls back on his competence, you know, his ability to do things like that. But that's the way it is in every facet. We could stand here for hours and we could give each other such mishalim. That's what the Goyen is talking about. Now, he keeps talking about it further and further. But in the idea of the Ta'avoni and the Ka'asoni, the Goyen has established a very major yesod. And within that, that the good can sometimes be very bad. Because it's the Satan's good, it's the Yetzirah's good, masquerading as good, really, when it's even worse than when it's clear that it's bad. And the reason for that is obvious, because our defense mechanisms still exist. But when it looks good, our defense mechanisms are not there at all. Because for good, we don't have to fight it. It's for your benefit. It's for a good cause. So that's why it's always worse, because there's nothing to stand up against it. Nothing to stand up against it. So that's the Isha Zora. So now he says that the Koyach HaTa'avoni is itself divided into two parts. What is it? Taiva and Chemda. Taiva Zehu HaYoshev V'Veisoi, says the Gra, again in Perek Beis, Pasuk Tezayin. Hayoshe beveisoi ve'enoi roya larak lemalois ta'avosoi v'hanoosoi. V'chemdo hi adobo she'en bo hanoas haguf, kumo begodim noyim, ubotim noyim, o she'yiyo lo momon rav. She'en bohem hanoas haguf, but nafshoi shal odom choymed lohem. And that's what he says is the two different, those are the two different parts of what we call the Koyach HaTa'avoni. There's Taiva and there's Chemda. So the idea of the two, as we've mentioned many, many times, there's a very simple way of identifying which is which. One of them you can get full, and the other one you cannot get full. You can never get full. The person is right if mama. There's never an Ohev Kesef Lo Yizba Kesef. When a person gorges himself on food for the moment, you understand? We're not talking about the Tvah Arah in the cumulative. We're talking about when that Yetzer Hara seizes you. Mamon, it's never enough. And Memela, you're never satisfied. And Memela, you're never happy. But a person who has himself a real glutton's meal and he eats and eats and eats and he's full, he feels mellow. He feels good. For the moment, until he gets hungry again. The same thing is true of the physical taiva. The physical taiva saints a person because he has his release, and that's it, until the next time. But there isn't moment after moment after moment shaykh, because that's the way the biology works. So whatever is involved with his biology, with his physical aspect, with his corporeal satisfactions, has to be limited to the satiation that the body signals you, I'm full. It's over. The other taivas, which are more spiritual in a certain sense, although their taiva is just the same, that's what we call chemda, and that does not ever have a resolution. Because a spiritual taiva never has a limit. As the taivas are covered, is never going to be enough, and so on and so forth. So that is the chemda that he's talking about. If we go back, it's very late. All right, let's just learn one pasuk. The pasuk says, "L'shmorcha me'eshes ro mechelkas loshon nochriya." You notice that the pasuk in Perek Beis that I just read to you a moment ago, "Batzilcha miderech ro mi'ish medaber tapuchos." So here, it's talking about Derech and Ish. But a few psukim later, Pasuk Tezayin, which I just read to you, the two different halakim of Taiva and Chemda, La'atzilcha me'isha zara, minochriya amoreo hechlika. It's mamish the same. La'atzilcha lishmarcha, me'isha zara, me'eshes ra, minochriya, nochriya, amoreo hechlika, she smooth talked you, it's mamish the same. So you see how in Mishlei this idea is repeated over and over, and each time the Goyin makes this point. Right? The Shmorcha Meyeshis Ra, Hi Hachemda, Shehi Anukva Shalara, Koshukasavnu Lamala, that's in Perik Beis, She'eno Maniach Lo Lisham. It doesn't let him rest. Because Chemda is different than Taiva, even though they're both parts of the Tzara Ta'avoni versus the Tzadaka Asoni. Tzadaka Asoni is not a type of concept as much as it is a power concept. The Tzadaka Asoni is not something that we are discussing right now, so we won't go into it. But the Gaon's within Taiva has these two levels. And he says, "She'eno maniach lo lishon v'rodev tamid achar ha'havlei olam ve'ein loy hanoa mamish afilu ba'olam azeh," because he's never fully satiated. Lochein nikreis eishes ra she'ein ba toiv klal mechal kaslosh nachria hi ataiva she'niknes nachria moshkasavnu lamala v'zu ataiva yesh lochel kaspi ki mares atzmei lo adam oyev lo oyev. So he says that thing, it's very interesting, the Goyin is implying as follows. That which can satiate me, it sounds like my Yetzer Hara is telling me a good thing. It's very interesting, because what the Goyin is saying over here is not that the Yetzer Hara is mislabesh in tzidkas. The Yetzer Hara is telling you to eat it. Enjoy it. Because, echol u'shesei kimochan onos. But the Yetzer Hara is telling you something that at least you feel that when you satisfy your taiva, you will be full. Masha'en came the other Yetzer Hara, you already know in advance, as it were, that what you're chasing after will never happen. Whether it's mammon or covet or whatever it is. Because it'll never be enough. But Akal PK, the Yetzer Hara convinces you to do it. So that's within the negative he has, a negative and a positive. That's how subtle the Vilna Gaon's analysis has become. And that's the chiluk between Chal Kaslosh and Nachriya and Lishmar Chame Eishes Ra. He says, the Eishes Ra, be'etzem, you're never going to be happy. It's totally evil. At least here, you'll have your satisfaction for the moment. So the different levels or the different approaches of the Yetzer Hara are described here as an Eishes Ra, just plain evil, and Lashon Nachriya, it's not yours. It doesn't belong to you. So that's what the Chazal tell us, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu Zelu Mazeh, for whatever is Aser, he made something Mutar, etc., etc. But the Milui HaTaiva is at least possible. That's why it's not called Eishes Ra, but Eisha Nachriya. The other one, to begin with, he's sending you on a wild goose chase. Because the Taiva will never be satisfied that you're trying so hard to make happy. That's called Ra in its totality.